Sick is your name in all the earth. You set your glory above the heavens.
Sing
Would you stand with us as we sing together? We're going to sing to the glorious King this morning. Let's sing to the King. Continue to sing to the King this morning. We just want to lift up the beautiful name of Jesus this morning. You were the Word in the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful
wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Amen. Please be seated.
I'm on. Let's try it now. Good morning. It's good to see you for worship this morning. Let me ask you a question, Center Grove. What are we doing here together?
We are.
It's good that you are here this morning. And if you are with us for the very first time this morning at Center Grove is a great place to grow in your walk with Christ. That's just the truth of it. And there in front of you where the hymnals are, if you would, if it's your first time to be with us today, if you'd take one of those cards out where the hymnals are and fill that out. That way we can get better acquainted with you and figure out how it's best to serve you. And if you'd put one of those in the offering boxes that we have scattered around the building before you go, we'd appreciate it. And we're glad that you are with us for worship this morning. It's good to see you here. And I want to do something this morning just to recognize and tell those guys how much we appreciate it. Elite fellows, will y'all stand up? I'm not going to embarrass you, but just stand up. So if that embarrasses you, then I'm going to. These four guys that are with us today, most of them have been with us. There's actually a few tag-alongs that are not with them. Harrison, Colin, Texas, who else has kind of been? Is there any that I'm missing? Those guys have been. We've had six or seven guys that have been with us during their time at Elite and been very grateful that they have been with us, enjoyed having them. This will probably be their last Sunday with us. Am I right? Y'all scatter after Friday. Give them, let them know how much we've enjoyed having them with us. Y'all be seated. Thank you. Thank you for being with us and letting us be your church home while you're here. We appreciate it very much. And that's a great opportunity for Ministry Elite. And so I'm glad that we get to go over on Thursdays and do devotions and that sort of thing. And and share with those guys as we talk about character development over there. But if you see those guys on the way out, let them know how much you've enjoyed them being with us. And in a couple of weeks, I imagine that we may have some more guys that come in and are with us. And so if you see those new faces, reach out to them. Tomorrow, we're going to be starting our senior adult revival during the day. We'll meet at 11 o'clock tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday, for a service, and then have lunch at 12. And so I would ask you that whether you consider yourself to be a senior adult revival or not, be here for our revival. If you're available during the day to come and enjoy the time with us and to come and eat lunch, be here and enjoy those that will be. Hopefully we're going to have some other churches that will be with us bringing their senior adult groups and having some local preachers that are just going to come and fill in, having some guys come and do some special music and all during the week. And so be with us and enjoy the time together. And the main reason that we're doing this is to invite some people to be with us for worship. If you know some people that are senior adults, widows, widowers, some people that would just do good to be around people during the day, invite them to be with us for the service and for lunch and to enjoy that time of friendship together. And our desire is that we would see people saved over the course of the next couple of days, even some people that are seniors. So invite some people to be with us. And I would say to you, I know that there's some of you that are available to come during the day, so I would encourage you to do that too, even if you're not a senior. If we were doing a youth revival, we would probably have some people here that were not youth. So, since we're doing a senior adult revival, let's have some people here that are not senior adults. Listen, I also want to let you know that in the bulletin, there's an announcement about a lunch that the WMU is going to host for widows, widowers, divorcees, that sort of thing. And there is, on the counter back there at the Welcome Center, there's a sign-up sheet there for that lunch. That lunch will be on a Saturday, March 26th, be coming up. And so they had asked me to announce, just they're trying to get an idea of how many will be here. So if that's something you'd like to participate in, put your name out there on that list and reserve a spot. And I think they'd love to serve you in that way. We are gearing up for Easter and preparing for Easter. And a part of that preparation deals with the offering that we take on Easter Sunday morning. And that offering that we take on Easter Sunday morning goes directly to missionaries that serve in North America, that serve in the United States and Canada. And the large portion of those missionaries that are serving in that way, that work with the North American Mission Board, are church planters. And church planting, as we've talked about before, I even mentioned last week, everywhere is not Rock Spring, Georgia. And there are so many places that there are not churches on every street corner. And even if there are church buildings on every street corner, there's not active congregations of believers serving and ministering to communities, especially in urban inner city areas. If you look at where we're focusing when it comes to church planting, it's within the perimeter of Atlanta. I mean, that's where the focus is when it comes to church planting, because there's such a need. You find essentially like a church desert in the middle of larger cities. Let's watch this video that shares with us a couple of missionaries that we're going to be supporting, a couple of church planters that are working in the St. Louis area.
In St. Louis, there's a plethora of churches. So one of the constant things that we kept hearing was new church. Why do we need a new church in this community? We already got a bunch of them not doing nothing.
In this neighborhood, I mean, there is a lot of homelessness, prostitution, fatherless homes.
The world has changed. Sin has increased. There's more crime. There's more drugs are prevalent. It's not a secret thing anymore.
My family and I bought a house in the community, and we moved there in the community. So the people that we wanted to reach, we were living amongst. We were set up on a Sunday, bring our own chairs, bring a barbecue pit, some chips, some hot dogs, and we would have worship service in the neighborhood park. And we just began to live there, love there, serve there, and people started to come. When we see people submitting to discipleship relationships, when we see people surrender their heart to Jesus, when we begin to see the neighborhood beginning to change around us, like, that's when we just know, like we're doing this right, and we wouldn't change it for the world. But it's going to take all of us working together to ensure that lostness is being addressed in our communities.
It's the body of Christ. There's someone in Tennessee, they may never come to the inner city of St. Louis, but they can give and contribute because they believe in what we're doing as a body, as an entity, to help us to get to that next level.
We just got to work together. We can do more together than we can do apart.
The Birds are a couple that we regularly support through our giving at Sunday after Sunday. What's so great about that giving on Easter Sunday, that Annie Armstrong offering, is it's just this injection to those missionaries, this injection of funds that are able to help them. So pray about what the Lord would have you to give. We'll be doing that through Easter. We'll do that formally on Easter Sunday morning. But there are envelopes for that Annie Armstrong offering at all of the offering boxes. And there's a drop-down tab if you give online in order to give to Annie Armstrong. And please consider what the Lord would have you do as we give together as a church and support missions in that way. I'm going to ask someone to say a word of prayer, and let's just pray this morning for our service. Steve Upton, I'd ask you to pray. Let's remember Rodney is not at home yet, but is doing well and hopes to be home by tomorrow maybe. And we've had some others, Kelly, Diana, those guys I think are recovering pretty well. So let's just continue to remember them in prayer. And Steve, pray that the Holy Spirit would just speak to our hearts this morning as we gather for worship. Will you do that?
And if you don't know him, today can be the day of salvation for you. Would you stand with us as we continue to sing A New Name Written Down in Glory? I was once a sinner, but I came, pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. I have a Maker. He formed my heart. Before even time began, my life was in His hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me. He knows my every thought. Thank you. Please be seated.
Take your Bibles this morning and open with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Very last chapter, very last few verses in Matthew. It's where we'll be today as we finish up this series that we have entitled, Why Church? Why church? Why be at church? Why go to church? What's even the point? Is that even still a relevant thing to do, right? We're looking at this for a couple of reasons. One is probably the idea that we were all separated for a couple years. We went through a couple years there that were not normal through all the COVID things, right? And the decision is, do we even really need church? I mean, we're streaming all those things. I mean, do we even really need church, right? Is it even relevant in the day that we live where I can pretty much access anything I want online? So why join with a body on Sunday morning and be there together? Dan and I were talking this morning, and he talked about an illustration that I've heard before, but it's perfect for the idea of what we're thinking about with church. You know, if you were to take a charcoal grill and you were to put all that charcoal on there and you know, lighter fluid and get it going and it ash over, and you've got those coals that are hot and ready to put steaks on the grill, right? And you were to take one of those coals and you were to remove one of those pieces of charcoal from that grill, it doesn't seem to affect the heat of the grill, right? I mean, in truth, the heat that's coming from the grill is less. The heat is not, it's not as effective. You have removed a piece of that coal. But you know what happens to that piece of charcoal that's removed, right? It really affects it very quickly, right? And this is the idea. We are called in Scripture, there's not this idea of this Lone Ranger Christian out there doing it all by themselves. The design and the system that God has put us together is for a community of believers. Could a person sit at home and do nothing but stream messages and be a part of the church? Yes. I mean, in a way they could, I guess. I mean, it's the same way that when I go out of town for several days, right? I mean, I might call Amy and the boys, and I might text her, and I might FaceTime Amy and the boys. We're still married, but it's not quite the same. It's not quite the same. The same idea is true here. Why church? Well, we've looked at it from a couple of different angles, right? And what we've tried to, the argument that we have tried to present is that from Scripture, it is important and it is relevant because the church is not a lifeless building or just simply an organization, right? The church is the assembly of God's people. The church is the people, right? And so the idea that we come together as a people, this is important, that we're together with each other for a couple of reasons. We should come together as a church in order to exalt the Lord, in order for corporate worship that the Lord be lifted up and be exalted. And by doing that, we come to church for ourselves in order that we can examine ourselves. When we exalt Him in corporate worship and when He is lifted up, then we see ourselves and we see His holiness and our unrighteousness. And we're able to draw near to Him as a result of that. He's calling us to come to Him and He's calling us to repent and turn to Him. And so we come to examine ourselves. It's important to go to church to edify the body, to build each other up. We're here to nourish one another and support one another and help each other grow as we walk with Christ. We looked last week that it's important to come to church to expose false doctrines. We hold each other accountable, and we become settled in our beliefs because we're not out there in left field doing our own thing. We become settled in what we believe. We know what we believe, and we know why we believe it. Today I want to give you the last reason as to why we come to church. Why church? In relation to the lost world around us, we come to church to evangelize the world. The last reason why we come to church that I'll give you in this sermon series is we come to evangelize the world. Let's read this passage of Scripture today in Matthew 28. Extremely familiar verses, 18 through 20. These great commission verses. We want to look at these together, recognizing that the mission He has given us as a church, He's given us as a group. He's given a mission that is too big for one person to do by themselves. Therefore, we must be in a community of believers to follow this command. Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age," he says. I have a sneaking suspicion that this is not the first message you have heard from these verses of Scripture. David, why in the world would you preach this again? These verses are pretty important. In fact, the commission, the Great Commission that we call it, the task of the church to reach the world with the gospel, is not only shared here in Matthew 28. This is its first giving, and it's probably the most famous of those that are given. But this Great Commission is given in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And then Luke gives us another version of it again in Acts 1 and 8, where he says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the world." Scripture hits on this numerous times. Scripture repeats it because this is the task of the church. And we need to be reminded what our task is. You see, this is the real problem, right? We need to know that this is the mission of every believer. And of every church that is meeting this morning, this is the task before us. It's the Great Commission. The task is to make disciples. Now, when I was little, I thought that the task was to go, right? People would always say, you know, it says go, you go, therefore, and you go. But as I have gotten a little older, the task, if you read that verse, is not to go. The task is to make disciples. Go sounds like a command, but in the original language, it's this passive voice. You've heard pastors say this before, that really it should be probably translated more like, as you go, make disciples. And how do we do that? Well, you do it two ways. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit. That's the first part. You see them saved and baptized. And you teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded. You disciple them. This is the task of every believer. And it's a super important task. In fact, I really like the Liberty commentary on this. The church is not to be merely missionary-minded. The church is the vehicle of Christ's mission to the world. And the two, the church and the mission, are inseparable. You cannot tear the two apart. If you have the church must be evangelizing because that is the task of the church. In fact, I might even go so far to say that if a church is not evangelizing, a church might not be the church. Because if a person is not concerned about their lost brothers and sisters, those lost people that live around us, they may not have Jesus in their heart themselves. Because the truth is that if you and I believe, I believe as I stand here before you today, I believe that one day we will all stand before Him in judgment. And those that have received Christ will spend an eternity in heaven, and those that have rejected Him will spend an eternity in hell. And if I believe that, why in the world would I not tell as many people as possible about the truth of Jesus? But I don't. I met a fellow the other day, shook his hand. I see him all the time, and, And I just, this is, you know, sometimes when you see a person so often, it gets to a point where you've seen them and you say hello and you know each other's faces, but I don't know their name. I don't know anything about him. And I just said to him, I see you all the time. Tell me your name, buddy. And we shook hands and he told me his name and we had a short little conversation. And I said something funny and we both laughed and I said, see you later, buddy. And I haven't seen him for a solid week. And when he dies, he'll spend eternity somewhere. Now, I don't know that our first conversation should have been, have you ever thought about accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? But it should have been on my mind. Because the task of the church is to reach this world with the gospel. And the two, the church and the mission, are inseparable. So why in the world would I preach this again? Well, because we forget. And we need to be reminded over and over again that our mission as a church is to share the gospel with those that do not know him. So here's what we're going to do. We get verses 18, 19, and 20 together. And as we look at them, I'm going to use four different headings to break this down. And I saw someone point out these words. And I don't know that I've ever noticed it as I have walked through these three verses together, but it's the word all. Do you see how the word all is used quite often in this? And so I'm just going to use those words as the headings as we try to understand and break down this passage. Let's think about what Jesus is saying in terms of all of these alls that he uses. How about that? All right? Let's start with this all. Look in verse 18. Jesus came and said to them, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. First all he uses is Jesus says that he has all authority. Listen to me a second. Before Jesus gives us a command, Jesus gives us a reminder. And it's really, really important that we understand the reminder, because if we don't understand the reminder, then we're not equipped to do the mission that he gives. Jesus' reminder to us is, I have all authority. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. If you have a King James, it says the word power. All power has been given to me in heaven and earth. They're not quite the same thing. This is a nuance of words here, right? Power is the ability to do a thing, right? I have the power to do this. It's not what authority is. Authority is the right to use the power. And this is what Jesus has. Not only does he have all power, which we know that him being omnipotent, him being this all-powerful God, that he is able to do whatever he desires, right? But not only is he able to do whatever he desires, he's well within his rights to do it, no matter what he does, because he is the Lord. And he has the authority to use the power. This is the reminder that he's giving them. This is a very clear proof that Jesus is God, the Son. This is very clear proof that he is deity.